Okay, going back to the kingdom of God on page 23 at the bottom of the page of your study guide, we're talking about how unity doesn't require compromise, but it does require cooperation and consideration. And that last word, consideration, is seems to be foreign among today's society to be considerate of other people. Not everyone's been exposed to what you've been exposed to. Not everyone has been taught what you've been taught. And people are at different levels in their knowledge of the Word of God, in their experience with God. And this is where consideration is extremely important, so you don't want to just blow someone away with some doctrine that they've never heard of, some revelation that God's given you. Even Jesus said, I have things to say that I can't say. Paul said that, I have things to say. You're not ready for it yet. And so you have to be sensitive and considerate of your audience, and don't choke them to death. And learn to work with people. It's amazing how much you can do if you'll just not get impatient. And don't think you have to dump the whole truckload in a setting. I was asked to go speak at a church, a particular denomination, and the pastor said to me, he said, "Now you know we don't believe the Holy Spirit the way you do." I said, "I know that, and I won't violate you. And so all you do is just pray, and God will give you the message and all that." But a friend of mine said, "I'm going to tell you right now, if I went in there, they'd hear about the Holy Spirit, even if I didn't have but one shot." I said, "Well, that's foolish." Then they just got shut off, and they may never be open. But if you feed a little here, and a little there, and a little there, and a little there, you know, if you don't blow them away the first time, they may invite you back the second time. As a matter of fact, the guy tried to get me to come as his associate pastor, even though we didn't believe the same way. No, you don't go in and just blow them away. You have to be considerate of the people that you're teaching or the people that you're communicating with, and work with them, but don't compromise what you believe. Now, don't back me in a corner on the Holy Spirit, or you're going to know what I believe. You with me? But otherwise, I'm going to be gentle with you. Okay? And when we say not to compromise, anything diluted loses its potency. You know that. So what you do is just avoid that subject. You don't compromise the subject. You're just not talking about that subject. You're talking about another subject. You see where I'm coming from? And so when I say be considerate, I'm not talking about compromising. I'm just talking about give people what they can handle and know. If you're sensitive to the Spirit, you'll know when it's not being received. And just stop right there. Just back off. Don't go there. Don't go any deeper than that. And that'll happen a lot more than you think. Unity actually requires close scrutiny of our beliefs. I've had to really look at my belief system over the years and check it out against the Scriptures and make some adjustments along the way, because being indoctrinated into religious beliefs, traditional beliefs, that stuff takes a deep root in you, and you think you're not religious, but something will surface, and you think, I can take that all the way back, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, because it's not out. So we're constantly working on our belief system. The more revelation you have, the more accurate you become. And revelation is progressive. You follow me? Okay. So, scriptural beliefs unite the body of Christ. Traditional beliefs divide the body of Christ. Stay out of your tradition. Stay out of that denominational stuff. We don't need to hear about a denomination. We need to hear about a unity. Think about, if you just break down the word and do the etymology on denomination, you're going to get the root of its division. You with me? And that's what those things do, but there is no division in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no division in the Word of God. It's just the interpretation that gets people into trouble. So if the Holy Spirit reveals, it's not a private interpretation. It's a revealed Word of God that is accurate. Okay? And a lot of what we know as far as information wasn't revealed by the Holy Spirit. And we have to be honest with ourselves to where we're open. Until I have revelation, I believe a certain way. But when I get the revelation on that thing, now I know. It's more than a belief then. It's an establishment that this is absolutely correct. Christ has only one body, and it's imperative that we recognize the body of Christ. There's a lot of bodies out there, you understand. There's a lot of organizations. But where's the Lord? Always look for the Lord. And I can tell you this, that just because there's a lot of manifestation doesn't mean it's the Lord. The spectacular doesn't mean it's the Lord. I can take you to 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. The wind, the earthquake, the fire, God wasn't in it. Great, phenomenal, spectacular things. What God was in was a very still, small voice. That's whisper. God speaking to the inner man. Don't look for God speaking out here. Listen for the Lord speaking in your spirit. You understand? And truth, spirit of truth will bear witness to truth. If what's going on out here is true, the Holy Spirit in you will give you the witness. Don't look for the witness out here. Look for it in here. Then we'll start here with talking about God's kingdom in the local church. And this actually created a lot of problems for me when we taught it the first time. But it's still true. And so I'm not backing down from that. God's kingdom must be established in the local church. Now I have to put this in. I know that all local churches aren't God's churches. Okay, I know that up front. And unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it. So there are those who build houses that the Lord didn't build. But He says it's futile, vain. Except the Lord build the house, those who build it labor in vain. Okay? So there's a lot of churches that men have built. Now, you know, over the years I've had conversation with a lot of people and they just say, well, I think I'll go over here and start a church. And so my first question is, has the Lord told you to do that? Well, no, there's a need there. There was a need in Asia to hear the gospel, but God told Paul not to go. Timing wasn't right. Now, later on, Asia heard the gospel, okay? The only reason you start something, you do things, is because the Spirit of God told you to do it. He directed you to do it. Okay? Then, it's God's church. That church is God's church. And if God tells you to do that, He puts vision in you. And that church is put there for a purpose. Not to pattern after other churches. Not to see what everybody else is doing. But you're there to do exactly what God told you to do and stay on course. Don't try to see how big you can make it. See how effective you can make it. You understand? See how close you can stay to the true foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Webster's Dictionary defines establish as to make steadfast, firm, or stable, to set or fix unalterably. God's kingdom needs to be set and fixed unalterably to where it can't be changed in a local church. God ruling. God ruling. The Lord is to build the house. But the Lord's also to maintain the house. A lot of people want the Lord to get involved into building it, but then once it's built, leave me alone. Let me do my thing and maintain it the way that I want to. But I'm going to tell you, if Jesus is not governing the local church, the efforts of the local church is futile. Oh, you may put numbers on a piece of paper, you may impress those around you, you may impress your peers, but you missed God. I'd rather please God than to impress people. You follow me? And we're going to have to learn that principle. The kingdom of God is ruled by theocracy, not democracy. Consequently, God's not going to settle for anything less than theocracy in a local assembly. Now, this is where we hit our snag, okay? Webster's defines theocracy as the literal rule of a state by God. And so, it's the literal rule. Now, I want you to get that point. If theocracy is operating in a church, God is literally ruling that church. But He does it through a representative. Remember, He's in heaven. But He sets people in earth to represent Him so the kingdom can run in earth like the kingdom is run in heaven. Are you with me? But this is true theocracy. And the way this occurs, you see it in the, if you look at the second and third chapters of the Revelation, to those in the morning class, this should be real fresh on your mind. We've just gone through these. Is when John was instructed to write a letter to the seven churches in the province of Asia, which Asia Minor in the Roman province. The letter was addressed to the messenger, not the angel. That's a horrible translation because it gives the wrong connotation. As a matter of fact, it wasn't even an angel giving John the message. Because John was going to fall down and worship, he said, "Don't worship me, I'm like you. I'm one of your brothers." You with me? And John's not writing a physical letter to a physical church and addressing it to a spiritual being. It's addressed to the messenger of the church. God holds that messenger accountable for the activity that goes on in the church. God didn't have John to write the letter to the congregation. The messenger was to give the message to the congregation. I commend you on this, but I have an indictment against you in these areas. And if you don't change, then this is what's going to happen. Now, the messenger has to convey that message. But to convey it, he has to hear it. You with me? And the way God works today is the Spirit of God is speaking. But if you don't subject yourself to the Spirit of God, you're not going to hear God speak. And how many people start Monday on preparing their message for Sunday? No, get before the Lord and ask the Lord what He wants to do. It's His church. It's not mine. You understand? And if we could just get that revelation that I don't care if you the high potentate. It's not your church. It's God's church. It's the church of Jesus Christ. And we've got to learn to listen to the Spirit. See, the way God communicates to us today is through the Holy Spirit. So Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. So any desire that Jesus has for the church is conveyed through the Holy Spirit, not through a board, not through Marlboro. It's conveyed by the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so this is where it puts a lot of responsibility on the messenger to get before the King of Kings, get before the head of the church, and find out what the head of the church is wanting to say to the church. What does he want to do in this service, any service? What does God want to do in this place? Not what do I want, but what does God want? And you'd be surprised how much stuff goes on that is initiated by men, not by God. Even emotional service. You know, I don't know how many times I've heard, we're going to have an evangelistic service tonight. Now, when you say that, I know what you're going to say. Or I know what you're saying. We're going to have the music cranked up. It's going to be fast music. And we're going to stir the emotion. We're going to get the people going. And we're going to call this a Holy Ghost move. I call that manipulation by music. If God says, I want you to do this, then it's an orchestration by God. But probably most of the time, God hasn't said. It's just what people are doing. And here's what I observed over the years. People that just really get loose as a goose, shouting, running, jumping, and all this type of stuff, the next day they're just as down as they were before. Calling you up. Needing counsel. Okay? So what good has that service done? But if the Spirit of God's orchestrating the thing, then some things are going to happen. And so we have to hear from the Lord. And the overseer of the church, the messenger, I call him the oversight. I know modern day people call him pastor, but I'll just put it out to you very plain so you'll understand it. Pastor is not a position. Period. By God's standard. Pastor is a gift. Bishop, as you see in 1 Timothy the 3rd chapter and Titus the 1st chapter, is a position. And if you look the word bishop up, it's the Greek word episcopos, epi being over and above, scope dealing with sight, over sight. And so for all these glorified bishops today, all that means is you have oversight. But it was to the local church, you understand? It wasn't to form denominations. I'll just put that out there and let it go with that, okay? Not trying to get in too deep to it. But the overseer is the resident authority ordained by God to direct that local assembly. You follow me? God appointed. And to me, the pastor, as we call him, the oversight, should be appointed by God, not elected by people. You can think about it. Now you understand why we're in such problems that we're having in church. We're in such a mess because we're not following the will of God. We don't do it God's way. We're just running a popularity contest. The one I like the best is the one I vote for. Well, who's going to be on his best behavior the day you vote for him? No, it's not a vote. It's who does God want? God sees the overseer as his messenger to the assembly. Therefore, the overseer is responsible for instructing the assembly in the ways of the Lord. You understand? In the ways of the Lord. That means by the Scripture, teaching the Word of God, being in agreement with the Spirit of God. It's not what some organization's handing down, not what some board is saying, but what's God saying? Every overseer is going to give an account to God by the way he carries out his duties. Here again, referring back to the Revelation, if you go to the end of the first chapter, before you get into the letters to the seven churches, the end of that first chapter, what John sees is someone like the form of the Son of Man walking among the seven golden candlesticks, and he has in his right hand seven stars. And then he gives the interpretation as to what the candlesticks are and who the stars are. He said, the seven golden candlesticks that you saw are the seven churches, and the seven stars in his right hand are the messengers of those seven churches. Which tells me that God is telling them what to do, and they're going to answer to God for whether or not they did what he told them to do. Now that ought to sober up anybody that's overseeing a church when you realize that you're accountable for giving God's message to the church. Not once in a while, but all the time. That means that you can't be out playing golf and doing this and doing that. You've got to be before the Lord. Uh-oh. Hit a nerve there, huh? The overseer must convey to the local assembly the current will of God. Consequently, the overseer must maintain constant communication with the head of the church, Jesus. How can I give you a message if I haven't heard it? Then it's my message. But I can't give you the Lord's message if I don't hear the Lord. And so you have to be listening for the Lord all the time. The Lord may want to speak on Monday. Or He may want to speak right before you stand up. Or when you stand up, or after you stand up. The bottom line is you just know that God's faithful and God knows what He wants to do in that service, and you don't push the panic button because it didn't go like you thought. And I've learned many times that God would get into your comfort zone. You understand? He'd get you out of it because He wants you dependent on Him, not on yourself, not on some study guide or your speaking ability or anything. God wants you relying on the Holy Spirit because that's what the people need to hear. They need to hear God speaking. In Psalm 77:20, Psalm 78:18-20, and Psalm 78:70-72, they give us evidence that God leads people through God-appointed men. Now, the two men that's been spoken of here in the Psalm is dealing with Moses and it's dealing with David. I want you to think about this. When God sent a man, to Egypt to lead a nation out of bondage, God didn't talk to the nation. God didn't talk to the elders. God talked to a man over here on the backside of a desert, if you will, supernaturally. You follow me? Now here's a part that people don't see. They don't understand that the true man of God is feeling inadequate. You follow me? I can't do that. Send somebody else. I'm not a good speaker. God got angry with him. I'm talking about Moses. But God didn't back down. God had ordained Moses to go in and lead them out. You know why? God knew Moses. God knew what he put in Moses. God knew his gifts and abilities. God knew his demeanor. He knew that he was the meekest man in all the earth. And it was going to take meekness in order to carry out the plan of God, not pride. You with me? Not control. Moses wasn't a control freak, you understand. And all Moses is doing when he goes in there, he's simply hearing what God says and doing what God said to do. You follow him all the way through. Moses missed it one time. God said, speak, and he struck. Cost him the promised land. You understand? But when you follow his life, God was ruling, God's kingdom was ruling through a man, Moses, doing the impossible, bringing a nation, birthing a nation out of a nation. How many nations are going to let their slaves go? But it happened. And then they thought, what have we done? God took care of that problem too. But he told Moses what to do. All the way through. All their time in the wilderness. See, they didn't want to do what God wanted. The nation never submitted to the kingdom of God. And that the military, 20 years old, died in the wilderness. You understand? They would not submit to God. So they died in the wilderness. They rebelled again. He said, these 10 times you murmured against me. Korah. I may be jumping ahead of myself, but if I am, we'll talk about it again. Okay? God said for Moses to make Aaron the high priest. Aaron was not made the high priest because he was Moses' brother. Had nothing to do with relationship. It had to do with the orchestration of God. God said, Korah decided, hey, we Levites just like you guys. What makes you think you're important? What does Moses do? Falls on his face before God. Moses doesn't vindicate himself. He said, all right, let God select. God, I'll bring your censers. You want to offer incense to God? Bring your censers. Let's see who God accepts. It was a bad day for them. And then after all this, you know the story. I mean, Korah, the earth opens up. Moses said, if God sent me and God did this, then let something happen that's never happened before. Let the earth open up. Now you'd think everybody around there would say, whoa, that's God. But you know, when the earth opened up and swallowed them, the people ran and then they got mad at Moses. It's amazing how insensitive people are and how blinding flesh is that you don't even see or hear the Spirit of God in something. And so what does he do? He says, get a rod from every leader of the 12 tribes and lay it up before me. And the rod that buzzed will be the one that's appointed by God. Now, that sounded like a good idea. But they wasn't expecting Aaron's rod not to only have bud, but to be producing almond. You understand? It had the fruit coming off of it. And God said, now lay that up before me. That's the authority that I chose. And I'm going to tell you, it's a dangerous thing to start usurping the authority of God. And if that person gets out of line, you understand he's in Jesus' right hand, not the congregation's. God set him, God's to deal with him. I'll say God, Jesus. Jesus set him there, Jesus will deal with him. See, David had that insight with Saul. God's the one that appointed Saul to be king, even though that wasn't the perfect will of God. You understand? David didn't deal with him. Saul would have missed it big time. But God dealt with him, not David. It's not man's place to deal with one that God put in place. If God put him in place, you let God deal with him. God will. But God will do it in His time, not yours. And if you start dealing with it, you miss God as big as the man you're dealing with. I could talk a whole lot about that, but I'll move along. Okay? Just understand that the oversight of the church is set by God and is accountable to God. He's not a dictator. That's not theocracy. Theocracy says He's hearing and speaking what He hears. Simple as that. It's just like a pipe. You turn the faucet on, that water runs through the pipe. Well, that pipe didn't supply the water. It just was the conduit to get that water to you. There's a reservoir out there that water came from. You understand? Well, God is always the reservoir. And we're just the conduit for God to get His message that He wants to the people. And we have to keep these things in perspective. The nation of Israel actually is an excellent example of theocratic rule when you see God selecting one man to rule a nation. Now this is not even a preacher per se. God selected the man to be the president of the nation, the prime minister, however you want to say it. That man was to lead the nation. Now he was a man of God. Don't misunderstand me. And God gave the one He appointed to lead the nation the constitution for the nation. He didn't give it to the people. Moses went up on the mountain and got before God, and God gave him what we call today the law of Moses. But it's actually the law of God given to Moses to give to the people so the kingdom of God could rule Israel. But Israel didn't want the kingdom of God to rule. They wanted to rule. Each tribe had its own what today we would call governors. Like each state has its own governor. And so that governor was, you know, that's a powerful position. So I'm going to do my thing and this, that. And this is the way this thing was going. And then you go through the Word of God and you see rebellion pop up on many occasions because people don't want to submit to God, to God's dominion, God's kingdom. And that's what happens in the local church. People don't want to submit to God's kingdom. You think about this. Moses had an agenda. The agenda was go lead my people out and take them into the promised land. Shouldn't have taken very long. You with me? Shouldn't have taken long at all. Less than 2 weeks. They didn't want to go. So he leads them right up to the brink of the promised land. And if you look at Deuteronomy, you have to take Deuteronomy with Numbers, okay? The people said, rather than to go in, let's send spies in. Moses said, okay. Now we're sending the spies in for the purpose of finding out how to go in. That's the whole objective. But the spies came back, not with a route, but with a doubtful or evil report that says we can't do it. God said we could, but God doesn't know what He's talking about. And that's basically how people do things today. You know, God doesn't know what He's talking about. We're smarter than God. We know we can't go up against a fortified city. We know that we can't beat those people, you know. We this, we that. And just laying aside the rule of God. And I'm convinced if God said it, God can back it. You understand? It's just the fact of us believing that God's good for His Word. And you know, you can violate theocratic rule is what they did. You with me? God's whole intent was to rule through that nation, establish His kingdom in that nation. Theocratic rule. No, we don't want theocratic rule. We get the vote of the people. And the vote of the people caused them not to go into the promised land. Not that generation, anyway. And that's what happens today. The vote of the people stops them from entering in to where God wants to take them. They won't listen to God. They'd rather get in their groups and talk among themselves and make their own decisions and think they have a better idea. Nobody has a better idea than God. And I'll tell you why. Because God sees the end from the beginning. All you're seeing is right here. You just see the present. Tunnel vision. Right now. God knows what will happen over here. That's why God's always right. And you'd think we would want to follow a leader that's always right. His name's Jesus. So the messenger has to know that Jesus is right and convey the message, and the congregation needs to believe that Jesus is right and listen to the message. If you don't have God's vision or if you don't hear God's words, you're not going to submit to God's rule. Follow me? The generation who had seen God's power displayed in an unprecedented manner, you understand, with all those plagues in Egypt and the Red Sea parting and all these things, that generation refused to submit to God's rule, even though they'd seen the power of God. And what happens? They die off without inheriting the promise that God had for them. Well, I'm going to stop there. My time's up, and we'll pick back up with the letter B.